Hebrews chapter number 12 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 12. Just read this one verse of Scripture and then go back to the message. Thank you for coming back tonight, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate you coming back and appreciate your prayers today. I hope you've had a blessed day. The Bible said, and to Jesus, I'm going to read three verses. I'm going to read this in its context, verse 22, 23, and verse 24. But you're come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. We began preaching this morning on the subject, the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel. God help us, we'd like to conclude that message tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, I'm glad tonight that the Spirit of God can still speak to our hearts tonight. God, the Spirit of God can move on the hearts of these doctors and move on the hearts of these insurance people, Lord. God, I'm afraid it's only going to get worse. God, I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll move in this situation. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'll move in our midst in the service. Help us tonight, Father, to, Lord, just glean some truth tonight that would challenge us along the way, would help us to be a little more like Jesus in these days. And God, will give you glory. In thy name we pray. All of God's young and said, amen. Amen. We'll begin looking this morning at this blood that speaks better things than that of Abel. The Bible said of Abel that he, being dead, yet speaketh. But I'll tell you something right now, that blood is still talking to us today too. Amen. That blood that Jesus shed on the cross, he began to shed it in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you read your Bible. Amen. And then they scourged him, and there was blood shed there at that scourging post. They beat him to a pulp. It was actually an art to beat a man like that, not kill him at that scourging. They wanted him to die slowly and an excruciating death at Calvary. If you want to read about that death, read the book of Isaiah chapter number 53. And the Word of God said in Isaiah chapter 52, his visage was so marred more than the form of any man. Sometimes there's a movie comes out, and I've not watched them all, I know that. And some of them, they do their dead level best to portray the suffering of our Lord on that cross. I don't believe there's ever been a movie made that could begin to portray the suffering as the blood run down that old rugged tree, amen, for you and for me. And so this morning we established three things this morning, that blood, it's speaking of identification. He speaks of identification in that he was willing to leave his throne and come down here where you and I are, take on a body of flesh and blood like unto men. But he was sinless, we know. But still, my friend, he descended, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It speaks of identification. I'm not going to go through all those passages again. Then it speaks of redemption through the blood. Thank God that we have redemption. The major verse there was, neither by the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. There was a discussion years ago about whether it was that literal blood. I'm going to tell you, you're looking at a preacher that believes the literal blood was sprinkled on a literal mercy seat, that we might have literal mercy when we call on God and ask him, amen, for that mercy. Some people want to typify everything, but I tell you, he shed his blood. Then you got people come out and said, well, he just in some kind of a swoon on the cross, that he didn't actually die. Oh, yes, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and the blood ran out of him, amen. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He died that day. That's the gospel, amen, how that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Then, my friend, this morning we talked about the salvation that comes through the blood, and we looked at that Passover, the sprinkling of blood, and how that the firstborn was spared because the blood was applied on the doorpost and on the lintel. I thank God this morning. Listen, it's not just enough to know that he shed his blood. It's not just enough, my friend, to know that the mercy seat's been sprinkled. That blood must be applied in our heart and in our life. Amen. And we must take him at his word. We must confess him as our Lord and Savior. I want to give you some things tonight and finish this message up, God willing. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. I told you we're just looking at the blood in the book of Hebrews. And I knew that I would be doing well just to get this little thought out today, just looking at the blood in the book of Hebrews. If I'm not mistaken, when I get through preaching, at every verse in Hebrews that refers to the blood of our dear Savior, amen. And I want to look at it tonight, speaking of sanctification through the blood, how that God sets us apart through the blood. It's speaking of sanctification in your life and in my life. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 13, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more?" I want to stop and say that again. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Oh, I thank God tonight, don't you, for that precious blood that speaks of sanctification in your life and in my life. The Bible said in Hebrews 13:11, "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp." But Hebrews 13:12, the next verse says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." I want you to know tonight the blood is speaking of your life and my life, that when that blood is applied, our Lord sets us apart, amen. Our Lord sanctifies us and makes us, thank God, meet. That means able to be used of a holy God in his work here on the earth, amen. I'll tell you tonight, I don't know about you, but to think about the likes of him using the likes of me blesses my heart tonight. But that's why he shed his blood, that you and I could be used. Our young people can be used of God. We're going back to school, amen. And even younger than the teenagers can be used of God. I was talking to Brother Allen and Sister Evelyn about Faith that was here again this morning, saved a couple Sundays back. And this was the word they use: she's different. I say hallelujah. The blood of Christ will make you different. Amen. No telling what God will do with that baby. Amen. In the rest of her life, she might be the next Miss Eve. She might be the next missionary's wife. Amen. I tell you, she might be a missionary. You say, can a lady be a missionary? There have been some good ones, haven't there, Brother Grizzle? That sold out, never married, and done a work for God. Amen. That nobody else would touch. Oh, tonight, sanctification through the blood. That blood, when it speaks to me, it says, hey, you're sanctified. You ain't nothing without me, but there ain't nothing you can't do with me. Amen. I tell you tonight, we've been sanctified, set apart, meet for the Master's use. We can be a vessel unto honor tonight because of the blood of Jesus. We've been sanctified by his precious blood. Let me move on to number 5 in the list tonight. Oh, I've got a thought on my heart right here.
I hope it'll bless you like it's blessed me. I want God to use me. I want God to change me. I want God to help me. In Hebrews chapter 9, let's begin reading in verse 18. Back over here in Hebrews chapter number 9. The Bible said here, wherefore neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Watch this now. Neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and he sprinkled both the book and the people. He said, hang in there tonight, folks. We're going somewhere, amen. Thank God this blood does not only speak, as we said this morning, of identification and speak of redemption and speak of salvation and speak of sanctification. But this blood, I want you to stay with me through this text, speaks of dedication. Amen. The Bible is talking about things that are dedicated, sprinkled with blood. Look at verse 20. This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. And also all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Oh, listen, he said, hey, when you're talking about the tabernacle over there where Moses, the blood of bulls and goats will get it done. But those things were just a pattern of what needed to be dedicated on the other side. And the blood of bulls and the blood of goats and the blood of calves was not going to get it done. They had to be sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Watch this now. Come on down here with me tonight. The Bible said the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. Oh, he's not over there in that Old Testament tabernacle. That Old Testament tabernacle is wonderful, but it was a shadow. It was a type. It was pointing us forward, amen, to the mercy seat of God in glory. It was pointing us, my friend, to the holiest of all. The Bible said here, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, neither yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, I love these words, once. Hallelujah. He'll never die again. But once in the end, he entered in unto heaven for you and for me. Watch this now. But once now in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, as it appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. And to them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh, you say, preacher, I don't understand where you're going. Let me just give you a little thought right here tonight. How many remembers that scarlet cord over there that Rahab let down to let those spies? Amen. Stay with me just a minute. I tell you the thought God's got on my heart. You say, preacher, what is it? Well, when we're the blood, if it speaks of dedication, you know what we ought to do? Every time we look at our hands, we ought to, my friend, maybe just tie a little red ribbon around our finger and ask God, is what these hands doing? Is that something that dedicated hands ought to be doing? We ought to look in the mirror, as Brother John preached, and look in our eyes and say, are those dedicated eyes? Have they been sprinkled with the blood of Christ? Are they looking at what God wants us to look at? Want to listen with our ear and ask ourselves tonight, my friend, have these ears been sprinkled with blood? Oh, listen, have these feet been sprinkled with blood? Are they dedicated to the cause of Christ tonight? I believe with all of my heart, if we'd look at that and understand that God wants us to be sanctified, yes, he does, set apart, but then God wants us to be dedicated. Listen, the Bible said over there in the book of Romans, my friend, listen, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe God has a will for every one of His young'uns. God has a plan for every one of His young'uns. And I believe it's only the precious blood that we're talking about that makes it possible for us to be sanctified, makes it possible for us to be dedicated, makes it possible for us to enter in to the throne room of God, that we might know and do His will. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen, I believe with all of my heart that what we read ought to honor Him. What we watch ought to honor Him. What we listen to ought to honor Him. Where our feet carry us ought to honor Him. I tell you, we've not always done that. I didn't say you haven't. I said we haven't. Can I get an amen right there? And I tell you what I believe. I believe if I looked down in the morning, took me a shower in the morning, got ready to put my shoes on and looked down there and there was blood sprinkled on my feet, I believe it would remind me. I believe if I looked down there and there was some blood sprinkled on my hands, it would remind me. You know what it would remind me, Brother Danny? These feet don't belong to me. They belong to Him. These hands don't belong to me. They belong to Him. These eyes don't belong to me. They belong to Him. These ears don't belong to me. They belong to Him. Oh, thank God the breath that's in my body don't belong to me. It belongs to Him. That blood would cause us to want to be dedicated to the cause of Christ. Oh, beloved friend, I know that that kind of preaching's not popular. It never has been and it never will be. But I tell you, if the blood of Jesus Christ don't stir us, we're hopeless. We're hopeless. We're hopeless. Amen. If His blood don't stir us up tonight, cause us to want to be what He wants us to be. It speaks of dedication through the blood. You know, I remember my wife and I, and I'm kind of throwing this out there tonight. We don't christen babies around here. Say amen right there. Amen. We don't want a baby growing up depending on a few drops of water sprinkled on its head to get it to heaven. But I'm going to tell you what I do believe in. I believe God gives you that youngin. You ought to carry that youngin to the altar. And God's people ought to gather around that youngin. I believe you ought to give that baby that God gave to you right back to Him. Amen. I see that in the Bible, don't you? Amen. I tell you, Hannah was barren. And she said, God, if you'll just give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And buddy, God held up His end of the deal. And Hannah held up her end of the deal. And God blessed Samuel because of it. Amen. I believe tonight God wants us to be a dedicated people. I tell you, in most places it gets real quiet when you mention dedication. Amen. You say, preacher, why would you want us as a church to be dedicated? Because I want you to be glad on Judgment Day. I don't want you to be sad. I want you to be full of joy. I want you to be glad that you serve the Lord. I want you to be glad that you sold out. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, everybody's going to sell out to something. Say amen. Everybody will sell out to something. Some have sold out to sports. Some have sold out to sex. Some have sold out to alcohol. Some have sold out to Hollywood. Some have even sold out to dead religion. Amen. And wouldn't move out of it if their life depended on it tonight. Why not sell out to Jesus? The one that shed His precious blood. Oh, I tell you. I was reading something by Brother Rogers last week. How was it? You know, when we went to school, we had a place called Lost and Found. And there was a saying as kids, Brother Brian, you might be able to help me remember, the finders keepers. Ain't that what it was? Losers weepers. And I was reading that to Brother Rogers last week. I get an email from him every day. He's in heaven. You say, how you get an email from him? He's dead, but he's still speaking. Somebody say amen right there. Oh, to live a life like that. Amen. I get a devotion from him. He said, really, if it's finders, keepers, losers, weepers, he said, in the Christian realm, it's losers, finders, keepers, weepers. What do you mean, preacher? If you'll lose your life, you'll find it. But if you keep your life and save your life, the Word of God said you'll lose it. That's what the Bible said. Amen. And it just like the Lord, amen, about everything the Lord does is backwards of what the world says. Say amen. Somebody said, show it to me and I'll believe it. God said, believe me and I'll show it to you. Just backwards, amen. Just backwards, faith. It speaks of dedication through the blood. Then let me give you these couple things hurriedly. Then number six, it speaks of supplication through the blood. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know, Brother Long, he's got some of them red handkerchiefs. And you know what I believe? I believe I want me one. Listen, it might be for a little different purpose. Amen. I'm not against how Brother Long uses them. Amen. People get stirred up and go to waving them. Amen. I was over at Browder's Chapel one time. Brother Long was preaching. Amen. They started waving them red hankies. And I didn't have one. So I just waved my white one. The guy next to me looked at me like I just fell off some log somewhere. I said, yours represents the blood. Mine's been washed in the blood. Wave it, buddy. Amen. Amen. But you know what I believe tonight would be good? If we had a something red. Think about this for just a minute, young people. Think maybe a red handkerchief. If we had a something red every time we knelt, just lay it right down there so we would realize the only reason our prayer's going anywhere is because he shed that precious blood and opened the gate, amen, that we might come in to the holiest of all by the blood of the Son of God. I want to tell you something tonight. I'm afraid. I'm not talking about you now. Let me talk about me. I'm taking too much for granted in the Christian life. Amen. I believe with all of my heart. Listen, this is a bloody book. Prayer is a bloody prayer. Service is a bloody service. I believe if we're dedicated, it's because of the blood. Sanctified, it's because of the blood. The blood is still speaking in this generation that we live in. Oh, beloved friend, you say, having therefore, brethren, boldness, enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How many remembers when Jesus rose? Mary came to him and Jesus said this. He said, touch me not, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. Now you can believe whatever you want to, but I believe he was on a mission. Say amen. It wasn't time to fellowship. Amen. It wasn't time for her to touch him. He had to touch some blood down on the other side. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, my friend, he entered in by his own blood. That's what the Word of God said. I believe he sprinkled that mercy seed so that, my friend, when you and I kneel and call on God and ask him to save us, ask him to help us, ask him to succor us, come alongside and help, he can do it all because of the blood that he shed on Calvary's tree. It speaks of dedication. It speaks of supplication. And never in my life have I thought about this. But I'll give you this last thing. Look over at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20. What else, preacher, does the blood speak of tonight? I'll give you this and I'll be done. The Bible said, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Watch this now. That great shepherd. How many say he's a great shepherd? Boy, I tell you what, when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, he's a great shepherd. The Bible said, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Watch this now. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You say, preacher, what is the blood speaking of in that verse? I'll tell you what it's speaking of. A resurrection. Thank God. Listen. The Bible said there, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You say, preacher, how can your mama lay down? How can your mama say amen 24 hours before she died to a verse that said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? I tell you how, because mama knew that God keeps his covenant. Amen. And that covenant is a blood covenant. How is it that God's people do not have to die in fear, but they can die in peace? I tell you how, they understand that God keeps his word, keeps his covenant, and if God got Jesus up, God will get us up through the blood of the same covenant. It's a covenant that's signed and sealed in blood, and it cannot change. It's immutable. Everyone that comes through the blood, oh, we may go by way of the clods. We may go by way of the clouds. But here's the thing. We will go. That's settled because of a covenant, a blood covenant that God has made with his Son and with his people. Our Lord will come again, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. This we say unto you, Brother Fred, by the word of the Lord. You have God's word on it. Amen. He's coming. I have his word on it. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I praise God. I praise God. I praise God. He went. He said, I will go. And he said, I will come again. Thank God, because of the blood of that covenant, we're going to get up one day after a while. One day after a while, God's people will get up. Jesus was the first fruits, and the rest of us will follow suit. Listen to the book of Revelation. Let me read a verse in Romans first. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, think about that. I have never, Brother Gary Sutherland, as long as I've been studying and preaching, I have never thought about the blood when I was watching somebody get baptized. But the Bible said we've been planted together in the likeness of his death. And we're raised in the likeness of his resurrection. I'm telling you, when you look at that covenant, hey, even when somebody's being baptized, the blood is involved, amen, that bought them and obtained their eternal redemption. The Bible said in Revelation 26, I'm done, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. How many believes that tonight? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. You know, I'm just going to throw this out there. We don't believe in a general resurrection. You'll find scriptures where there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. You'll find that together in the Bible. But you got to study the Bible, amen, and understand in the first resurrection, are you listening to me? Christ comes for the church in the air, amen. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But oh, I tell you, later on, there's going to be a resurrection of the wicked dead. They're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. You know what's missing? Let me wrap it up in one word. The blood. God come looking. There's no doubt in my mind that some of those people have all the Sunday school pins. Some of those people have a certificate where they've been baptized. Some of those people have been a member, even at a good church sometimes, amen. But I'm telling you, God's not looking for the certificate. He's not looking for the pins. He's looking for the blood of his darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When that blood is applied, we can say, I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. How many believes the blood still got something to say? I'll tell you what's the truth. I don't ever want to kneel and pray the same way again. I always want to be thinking about what it cost so that God could hear my prayer in heaven. Amen. The blood is what it costs. When I look at my hands, how many knows these hands are tempted to do wrong? How many knows these eyes are tempted to do wrong? How many knows these ears are tempted to do wrong? How many knows these feet are tempted to carry you wrong and carry you the wrong place? How many knows the heart is desperately wicked and it's even tempted to do wrong? I'm talking about after we get saved. How many's with me right there? Boy, if I could look at my heart and see the blood, I believe I got more hope. If I could look at my hands and see the blood, look at my eyes and see the blood, look at my ears and see the blood, look at my feet and see the blood, look at my precious church and see the blood that bought us and paid for every one of us. I believe there's hope. There's hope. There's hope. Abel, he being dead yet speaketh. But I tell you what, the blood of Jesus is speaking even better things than that of Abel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you say it's been good to be in God's house today? Well, if you ain't saved, you ought to get under the blood. Amen. If you've never been born again, you ought to get under the blood. You ought to get under the spout where the glory runs out. Amen. I tell you, I feel sorry for this generation that's trying to write a Bible every other week and take the blood out of it, trying to write songbooks. We don't want to hear about that blood. I was preaching to my family Wednesday night, and I said something about like this. I said, my favorite song is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know what the modern version of it is? Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved such a one as I. I say, hogwash, gaga, maggot. That's pride. We were all wretched when He saved us. When that blood was applied. They want to change the song. They want to make us look a little better. Without Him, every one of us is as wicked can be. Amen. Thank God for identification through the blood. Thank God for redemption and sanctification through the blood. Thank God, brother. Thank God for dedication. We can be dedicated because of the blood. We can pray supplication because of the blood. And thank God one day we're going to get up because of the blood. The Bible said if in this life only you have hope in Christ, you're of all men most miserable. Hallelujah. Might listen to me. The blood is not just carrying me through this life, but it will carry me to the next life. Amen. It's not going to leave me here. It's not going to leave me here. That covenant, that blood covenant, will not leave us as God's people down here.